one part war. We own the weapons, banks and land. Call us Armageddon Man. There is less, but we want more. So we take it from the poor. You can't stop us, no one can, because we're
This is Reality Sandwich, the continuing investigation into who killed John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X. You probably know by now the Spike Lee movie on Malcolm X is coming out in June 1992. Here comes the next wave. First it was Oliver Stone with JFK, then it's Spike Lee with Malcolm X, the continuing investigation into the mystery of our history. How is it all these years that our history has been made a mystery by the Nixon-Bush government? They murdered our leaders and hid the actual assassins from us, but now a mass democratic peaceful movement is rising up in this country. It's filmmakers like Oliver Stone and Spike Lee that bring us our history. I got a letter in the mail today from a listener who said, what is going on in the world where the only way we get any action, the only way we get an investigation into who killed Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and John Kennedy is if Oliver Stone does a movie and Paul Kangas does a radio station. It seems like the only representatives we have in this government are Oliver Stone and Paul Kangas, but nothing happens unless Oliver Stone, Spike Lee, and Paul Kangas speak out. That's, unfortunately, the situation. We have so-called elected representatives, whether they be Boxer or Milton Marx or the rest of the sleeping zombies, and they do nothing on this issue. They roll over and play dead. They run and hide. Why do they run and hide? Because they're afraid for their lives. They've been told by the CIA that if you speak out on the Kennedy killing, that you will be killed. Well, I'm still here. Oliver Stone's still here. Jim Garrison's still here. Mark Lane is still around. We're still doing it 28 years later, and we're all alive. Of course, we don't make the mainstream except when people slander us. Usually they try to ignore us as best as possible, but for some reason, this story just won't go away, folks. What is it? Why is it that people like Oliver Stone and Spike Lee make movies about this and it just won't go away? Well, if you want some more information on this, come by Forest Books in San Francisco. We're having a forum to commemorate the 20th anniversary of Watergate, and we're going to dig into all the facts that the straight media won't put out. The details they will not reveal to you about who killed John Kennedy. The facts and the documents, the photos, the FBI memos that they won't release to the public that have been, quote, obtained by investigators and researchers researching this subject. There will be a forum roasting Nixon and Bush about the Watergate burglary May 14th in San Francisco. That Forest Books is at 16th and Valencia. That's Thursday, May 14th, 7 p.m. Be there. Join this mass democratic movement that is sweeping the country and the world, demanding that our history be allowed to be spoken and discussed openly without threats of death from the CIA. What is this, where we can't talk about history in a so-called free country unless we're threatened by death or the even worse threat? They'll label you a kook, a conspiracy nut, just like they label women who get too uppity. And if you want information on tickets, please call our office at 897-0153. And if you would like a leaflet on the event or like to help us, please write to us at P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. All right. A couple days ago, Oliver Stone's office called me up and said, "Hey, we heard about your petition, that you're petitioning to release the Watergate tapes. This is outrageous. This is beautiful. Oliver Stone is going to be testifying before Congress next week, and we would like copies of your petition so that Oliver Stone could present them to Congress." I said, "Hey, yes, that's a good idea. Excellent." So I faxed a copy of the petition to Oliver Stone, the petition calling for the release of the Watergate tapes, and Stone took it with him to Congress. In Washington, D.C., a lawyer contacted me and asked for copies of the petition to present before Congress. This is a lawyer that works in Washington, D.C., presenting issues, lobbying Congress. He wrote to me and asked for not only copies of the petition, but he wanted copies of all the petitions. We have 10,000 signatures on petitions to release the Watergate tapes and the JFK files, along with the King files. And the way that, the only way it seems you get anything done in this government is you have to pull out your drum and keep banging on it. So that's why we're doing the petitioning. This lawyer in Washington, D.C. is going to present our 10,000 signatures to Congress. Oliver Stone is going to present our piles of petitions to Congress. So there's movement happening, movement a lot right now. You probably watched the C-SPAN congressional hearings on reopening the investigation into who killed John Kennedy. Wonderful. I'm glad you did that. If you didn't, here's a summary of what happened. Oliver Stone sat down in front of Congress and said, "We demand to know our history. We demand the pieces of the history, the photographs that were taken in Dallas of the actual assassins of John Kennedy that were arrested behind the grassy knoll. And we want those photos released. We want the FBI documents we released. We want the interview with the 37 Cubans that were arrested in Dallas, Texas, CIA Cubans from Miami, along with Hunt and Sturgis. We want those interviews released." Well, everybody was saying, "Oh, sure, no problem, we'll release them." And then, whoops, the Justice Department comes up and says, "We can't release that kind of stuff. Why, it'll compromise national security." And then they set up this committee, this specially appointed committee, to examine the files and see which ones should be released. And if you look at the composition of that committee, it's outrageous. It's all Republicans, and the Democrats that are up there are nothing but puppets of the Republicans. And then there's this one representative, Christopher Shays, Republican for Connecticut, and he says, and I quote, "It's really hard for me to imagine what national security issues are at stake. Why can't we release these files?" Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to have to educate this Christopher Shays, the representative Republican from Connecticut, and we're going to send copies of all the FBI documents and the photos and the files that we have on the role of Richard Nixon and George Bush in the assassination of John Kennedy, and we're going to send them to Mr. Shays so he can read them, so he will now be able to imagine what national security issues are at stake. More in the article, reading out of the Wednesday Chronicle here. "I have tremendous concern," Shays says, "that we not compromise the bill in order to get something that is veto-proof, said Representative Christopher Shays, a Republican from Connecticut. And it's really hard for me to imagine what national security issues are at stake. Well, he's a bit naive. He's the kind of guy that should wear a bulletproof jacket if he thinks he's going to go and tell the CIA to release the files. Not really. Don't want to scare you. There's no danger, folks. Absolutely no danger in doing this kind of work. Further on the story, we have Oliver Stone testifying at the hearing saying, "We have a right to know our history." He said afterward that the Justice Department has now set itself up against this process, as has President Bush. Hey, what would President Bush possibly have to hide about the interview of 37 Cubans who were involved in the Bay of Pigs invasion, CIA agents who were involved in the Bay of Pigs invasion, and who were arrested in Dallas, Texas? What could Bush possibly be protecting? Well, for those of you that have heard this program before, you have some idea of Bush's role in the Kennedy assassination. For those of you that have not heard this program before, are you aware that George Bush was directly involved in the assassination of John Kennedy? Well, let me give you a quick 3-minute summary. George Bush was a CIA agent in 1960, working with Richard Nixon and the CIA planning the invasion of Cuba. And in fact, a liaison between the NSA and the CIA said, Fletcher Prouty said, he remembered picking up some Navy ships from Quantico, Virginia, and delivering them to a CIA agent in Guatemala named George Bush, and the CIA agent then repainted these Navy ships to look like civilian ships, and then he named the ships after his wife and his hometown, and then which he named the ships the Barbara and the Houston. And you can check any history book on the Cuban invasion, and you will see those facts. Plus, he named the operation, the whole invasion of Cuba. He had the power to name it. And what did he call it? He named it after his oil company, the Zapata. He named it after Zapata Oil Company. Now, of course, that's just a coincidence that all three things happen to be the same in George Bush's life and the life of the invasion of Cuba. Then, in 1964, after Kennedy was assassinated, George Bush was assigned a very sensitive task of monitoring every newspaper in the United States and the world, every radio station, every television station, every story that had to do with the murder of John Kennedy. It was the job of George Bush to track that story, find out who wrote the story, and try and get that journalist fired, try and get some dirt on that journalist, have the IRS check the taxes on that journalist, somehow put a spike in that journalist's life to make sure that any journalist that writes anything detrimental to the CIA about the assassination of John Kennedy, their life will be disrupted or possibly shortened or terminated. So that's what George Bush's job was. Now you say, well, that's just speculation. Not so. Check it out. We have discovered through the Freedom of Information Act files with George Bush's initials and handwriting and name on it. Files and files and files of stories concerning the assassination of John Kennedy. And these files were being kept and monitored by none other than George Herbert Walker Bush. All right, that's some of the history that Oliver Stone is fighting to open up. And when Spike Lee's movie on Malcolm X comes out in June, this will add more fuel to the fire about who killed John Kennedy. We have a right to know our history. And the only way we're going to find out is by taking action like this. Okay, it's time for, let's see, announcements. I announced the May 14th forum on the 20th anniversary of Watergate at Forest Books, 16th in Valencia, Thursday, 7 p.m. Also, there's another forum commemorating Watergate on June 14th, just before Juneteenth. It'll be in San Mateo at the Senior Citizens Center on Alameda de las Pulgas, 7 p.m. That's a Sunday, June 14th is Flag Day. Yes, sirree, Flag Day. That's wonderful. We'll hang the flag upside down or maybe have a roast. That'll be Sunday, 1 p.m., June 14th in San Mateo. And people interested in tickets, please give us a call at 897-0153. Also, we are petitioning, continuing the petition. So if you're interested in that, please send us a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll send you a copy of the petition. And let's see here. What else?
They don't know me anymore. I stand alone just like before. My body's gone, my spirit too. The pact I've made, I've kept in full. No compromise, no drinking booze. Dare to struggle, dare to lose. Say the battle outside is raging, but what are we waiting for? Let's go!
There is no way out unless you defeat Armageddon Man.
Unless I defeat him, what, you ain't gonna help me?
Nope. I'm disqualified, made a big mistake.
A mistake? But I thought you were like the goddess of truth.
Not exactly. See, I am the spirit of information. I run general reference at that big library out there.
The main branch?
You have all the power that is mine to give. It's up to you to stop Armageddon Man.
That's right, folks. It's up to you to stop Armageddon Man. There will be no way that we're going to have anybody other than Bush for president in 1992. Clinton has shot himself in the foot too many times. And the Texas oil millionaires have brought out their wild card, Ross Perot, to try and sabotage Jerry Brown's campaign. And so the Democrats are sinking fast, and the Democrats are sinking so bad, so fast, that they're going to now try and run Ross, this oil millionaire from Texas, another one of the right-wingers from Texas, H. Ross Perot, they're going to run him. So don't trust them, folks. It's up to you. You have to defeat Armageddon Man, and that, in this case, is George Bush and Richard Nixon. We need to put on trial George Bush and Richard Nixon for the assassination of John Kennedy. Now you say, well, how do you do that? I'll give you some clues on how you can put George Bush on trial. What you are now living through in 1992 is the largest jury trial in history. You are a member of the jury. You need to be able to look back at this situation and participate. Look forward to seeing President Bush for the next 4 years, and possibly, you know, he has a son, George Bush Jr., who could possibly get elected in 1996. And then after that, there's another Bush, a Jeb Bush. There's a lot of Bushes lined up. We're facing a Bush dynasty, just like we once had the possibility of Aquarius, the Aquarius dynasty of the Kennedy families, who stopped the war in Cuba, who stopped the Federal Reserve, who declared peace with Russia, and who attempted to save the Vietnamese people, and who attempted to do something positive about the racial situation in this country. That dynasty is gone. Instead, we now face the dynasty from hell, the George Bush dynasty. unless you do something about it. You can put a sign on your front room window that says, jail Bush for the murder of JFK. That would be you as a member of the jury speaking out about what should be done. Or you can even put up a sign that says, investigate George Bush. We have newspapers, if you'd like. We sell bulk, 100 at a time, newspapers. If you want to participate in this mass movement to jail Nixon and Bush for the murder of Kennedy. Now, by the way, the sentiments spoken on this station, radio station KPOO, are those solely of the author and the host of this program, Paul Kangas. So don't be disturbed. This is still free speech country, and as long as I can speak, maybe there's some semblance of free speech left in the country. All right, we need letters to this Representative Shays in Connecticut. We need leaflets. We need bumper stickers. We have a bumper sticker now that says, jail Bush for the murder of JFK. If you'd like a copy, hey, send us a large donation and we'll send you some. Well, send us a donation, whatever you can, and we'll send you one of these bumper stickers, jail Bush for the murder of JFK. Our address is P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. All right. Let me detail for you three events in American history that are at this point unknown by the average American, but are becoming more and more the possibility of being known because of Stone's work at exposing the actual CIA assassins behind the assassination. Okay, here's three events. Imagine these three events. Washington, D.C., 1963. Lyndon Johnson is at a cocktail party somewhere in the Washington, D.C., when up comes Richard Nixon and grabs Lyndon Johnson by the arm and takes him over to a corner and whispers to him, Lyndon, what's going on here? John Kennedy has cut off the air cover for the invasion of Cuba. I don't think he should have done that. And Lyndon looks at Nixon and says, my good friend Richard Nixon, if I was the President of the United States, I would never have done that. And Lyndon looks at Nixon and winks, and Nixon looks back and smiles. A few minutes later at the cocktail party, a banker named Prescott Bush comes up to Lyndon and says, Lyndon, why did John Kennedy cut off the Federal Reserve so that the Federal Reserve is losing $100 billion a year? Instead, Kennedy has the U.S. government printing our money now. My friends in the banking system are losing a lot of money and a lot of sleep over this. That looks like a very poor decision from our point of view. Lyndon looks at Prescott Bush and says, my friend Prescott, if I was president, I wouldn't do that. Prescott winks and looks at Johnson. Johnson looks at Prescott and smiles. They shake and part in the night. Next, a general from Vietnam, an Air America, Air Force General Charles Cabell, comes up to Lyndon and says, Lyndon, what is this that John Kennedy has issued a presidential order withdrawing all U.S. personnel from Vietnam? Do you realize that if Kennedy does that, that means Air America will have to stop smuggling heroin in from Vietnam? That means that we won't have any way to repress the civil rights movement, the anti-nuke movement, the this movement, that, the peace movement in the United States? Why, we need heroin in order to stop people from thinking. We've got to keep the cities covered with this drug heroin, otherwise these people will start talking about democracy. And besides, mainly we're making hundreds of billions of dollars a year smuggling heroin from Vietnam. Now I realize Johnson doesn't know, Kennedy doesn't know this, but Lyndon baby, you know this. We pay you off. Where do you think that money comes from? That money comes from the heroin that Air America smuggles in to the United States from Vietnam. If Kennedy cuts us out of Vietnam, we're going to lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year in heroin traffic. And Lyndon looks at General Charles Cabell and says, "My friend Charles, if I was president, I sure would not have done that. And I would not do that in the future. And I can assure you that if I was to be the president in a few months, why, we would reverse that policy so fast nobody would even notice it ever existed." General Charles Cabell winks at Lyndon, and Lyndon winks back. And that, my friends, is where the problem came from. The boomerang that landed in Dallas after it was thrown at Cuba. The CIA threw its war materials boomerang at Cuba, but missed Cuba. And the boomerang came back, and the chickens came back to roost in Dallas. The chickens being the CIA chickens. Well, the next scene in this scenario goes like this. Dallas, Texas. And by the way, these events that I'm talking about lightly, with a little bit of humor, are actual real events that actually happened. And the next one is in Dallas, Texas. The famous meeting, a party at the Murchison Mansion in Dallas, Texas, the day before Kennedy was killed. At that party, we can now prove, was Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Joan Crawford, the wife of the president of Pepsi-Cola. By the way, in the movie Air America, the movie points out that Pepsi-Cola had the largest Pepsi-Cola bottling plant in Asia in the Golden Triangle, and where Air America had an airstrip, and the Air America was flying out of the Pepsi-Cola plant there in the Golden Triangle of Vietnam. You know what that Pepsi-Cola plant was famous for? It was famous for not ever having bottled a single bottle of Pepsi-Cola. It was the largest manufacturing plant for heroin, CIA heroin, in Asia. Well, at the Murchison meeting in Dallas, there was Lyndon, Nixon, Joan Crawford, George Bush, General Charles Cabell again, the same gang that had met in Washington, D.C. to plan the assassination, was now meeting in Dallas, Texas, the day before the assassination of John Kennedy, to give the final green light, the final go-ahead for the assassination. Then, another meeting. Shortly after the assassination of John Kennedy, when Congress was talking about setting up a special commission to investigate the assassination of John Kennedy, President Lyndon Johnson had a very interesting visitor in the White House. That visitor's name was the Honorable Richard M. Nixon, former Vice President of the United States, met with Lyndon Johnson to discuss what? To discuss ways to stop Congress from investigating the assassination of John Kennedy. So what did Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon decide to do? They decided to set up a special commission to preempt Congress, to prevent Congress from investigating the assassination of John Kennedy. That special commission you all know as the Great Lie, the Warren Commission. It was staffed by friends of Richard Nixon's, such as Alan Dulles, the man Kennedy fired at the Bay of Pigs. It was staffed by a fundraiser for Nixon from Michigan, Gerald Ford, fundraiser for Nixon from California, Earl Warren, a former law partner of Richard Nixon's, John J. McCloy. Almost everybody on the Warren Commission were sworn enemies of John Kennedy. That's how the Warren Commission was created, by Richard Nixon. All right. Now, time for a little bit of San Francisco Mime Troupe music.
It's the breath of life. They want to smother. So fight for life, the earth, your mother. Fight for your sisters and your brothers. If we lose this fight, there won't be another. It's the breath of life.
All right, we're back again with Reality Sandwich. And for those of you that didn't see C-SPAN, with Oliver Stone testifying before the Congressional Committee to investigate the assassination of John Kennedy, actually it's the Congressional Committee to cover up the assassination of John Kennedy. Let's please get it right this time. 28 years ago, we got suckered into believing the Warren Commission was investigating the assassination of John Kennedy. We now know that's not true. We know that they were covering it up. So don't get confused, folks. The only people that are trying to uncover it are people like Oliver Stone, Jim Garrison, Mark Lane, Bob Groden, Dave Emery, myself, and a lot of the other investigators. Hal Burb, Jay Davis, other people that appeared on this program, Fletcher Prouty. So here's what Oliver Stone had to say. He said that the assassins were probably E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. Hey, that's great. That means that Oliver Stone has now joins the majority of investigators in the United States who've investigated this and agree that the assassins were E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. Remember, Dr. Crenshaw came out last week and said that the two shots that killed John Kennedy, the first one hit him right in the throat, made a small pencil size mark in his throat. And you can see that in the Zapruder film when Kennedy grabs his throat when he's shot. And the next shot, fired by Frank Sturgis, hit Kennedy in the right temple at the hairline and ripped a huge triangular shaped chunk of hair off the side of Kennedy's head and blasted it onto the back of the convertible, which Jackie attempted to pick it up, and blew his brains out. We know that's how Kennedy was killed. For 28 years, they've been lying to us, saying, oh, Oswald did it from the back, and then there's some new lies coming out of how the driver did it, and other lies about how Secret Service agents stumbled with his machine gun and shot Kennedy, blah, 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 all that nonsense. But Oliver Stone has now joined that distinguished circle of investigators who agree that the shots came from the grassy knoll. Well, let me relate to you some of E. Howard Hunt's history that we have now been able to piece together. Jack Anderson interviewed E. Howard Hunt and showed him the photos. And Hunt didn't deny that he was the assassin of John Kennedy. What he did instead was he hemmed and hawed and said, well, since I was home watching it on TV with my teenage kids and... since you can't be in two places at the same time, obviously I could not have been in Dallas. But notice he did not deny it. That was great. Then in Mark Lane's book, he did the same thing. He got caught in a lie in an actual jury trial. And that broke the case. Now we also have in our possession, if you like a copy of it, we have a letter from Lee Harvey Oswald to E. Howard Hunt. And if you like a copy of it, write to us at P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. Ask us for a copy of the letter from Lee Harvey Oswald to E. Howard Hunt, and we will send it to you. Isn't that interesting how both the men, Lee Harvey Oswald and E. Howard Hunt, had their address at 554 Camp Street in New Orleans? Yes, that's right. In the James Earl Jones special on television last month about the Kennedy assassination, they point out that E. Howard Hunt had an office at 554 Camp Street in the same office as Lee Harvey Oswald, in the same office as Guy Bannister, right there in New Orleans. That's more evidence of the connection between Oswald and Hunt, the actual assassins. Now, we're not saying that Oswald had nothing to do with it. Oswald had something to do with it, but what he also had to do with it is he took the fall. He was a patsy, a CIA patsy. And if you're a CIA agent listening to this, imagine this. You are expendable. The CIA will use you as a patsy, just like they use their CIA agent Oswald to try and cover up the dirty work Hunt and Bush were doing in Dallas. Then, more evidence. You got to remember, this is a very large jury trial, and a lot of investigators are presenting their investigation report to the public. One of the most significant books on the Kennedy assassination, a book called Coup d'Etat in America, by the way, which is banned in the United States by men named Canfield and Weberman, also detailed in excruciatingly beautiful detail the role of E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis in the assassination of John Kennedy. So, take a word from the wise. Send a letter to your congressperson saying, isn't it time we arrest E. Howard Hunt and George Bush for the assassination of John Kennedy? I mean, they got away with it for 28 years. They've been walking around scot-free for 28 years, living off taxpayer jobs. You know, these people, George Bush and E. Howard Hunt, both CIA, and they both been getting paid out of our taxes. They got paid out of our taxes for killing John Kennedy. They got paid out of our taxes to cover up the assassination, and now they're still doing it. We demand the arrest of George Bush and E. Howard Hunt for the assassination of John Kennedy. Now, I'll tell you something. I couldn't say that on a public radio station or television station or in a newspaper in the United States if it wasn't true, because it would be criminal liable for me to accuse President George Bush of murdering John Kennedy unless there was some very strong direct evidence to indicate that indeed George Bush had a hand in it. We have the evidence. We want a trial. We're issuing subpoenas. We're going to put them in jail. And since this is the 20th anniversary of the Watergate burglary, we might as well mention that the 4,000 hours of Watergate tapes, Nixon confessed on the tapes to his involvement in the Kennedy assassination. That's another one of the things that Oliver Stone was demanding before Congress this week, is release of the 4,000 hours of Watergate tapes so we can hear the confessions of Nixon and Bush that they made on the tapes. Now, in the Examiner today, there was another story about the Stone's call to open the King files and the JFK files. In that story, it goes like this. It says, Stone says, I don't think we should have to wait to get at this stuff, said Philip Mendelson, author of the book Merkin Conspiracy, a sharp critique of how Kennedy's King's killing was investigated. Some investigators believe that the mysteries surrounding King's assassination are more likely to be solved than those in the Kennedy case. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. That's just not true, unless, of course, they've got some sort of trick up their sleeve. We know much more about the killing of John Kennedy than we know about the killing of Martin Luther King. So that story, that line in that story, is a clue that tells us that they're going to set up somebody. A new patsy is going to be thrown to the wolves in the King assassination to try and placate the public. They're going to lie to you about who killed Martin Luther King. Don't you believe it, even if Stokes tells you it. If I don't think it's true and I don't say it's true, then it probably isn't true. So this program will continue the investigation to try and keep track of exactly what's going on with the assassination investigations. I have a funny feeling that my children will be doing a radio program talking about this very program, this very investigation, in the years to come, as Jim Garrison's children are now involved in the investigation, as the children of Oliver Stone will be involved. This is no easy case to solve. What you see here is a direct conflict between the people of the United States and the intelligence agencies in the United States. Now, if you read that book about J. Edgar Hoover called Secrecy and Power, by the way, it's a very beautiful book. The pictures of J. Edgar Hoover and his lover, Clyde Tolson, are absolutely marvelous pictures. Those pictures should be included in any gay history of the United States. J. Edgar Hoover, the well-known closet queen, and his lover, Clyde Tolson. Pictures that would cause most people to blush are in that book. But if you examine that book, what you discover is that the FBI didn't start out as a federal agency. It started out as a private detective agency run by some rich people in Washington, D.C. Then they decided to have, they needed some sort of detective agencies to attack the Union. And so they hired this detective agency to go after the unions in this country. And that's how the FBI was born. But check out that book, Secrecy and Power. It's a beautiful history of J. Edgar Hoover and his secret lover, Clyde Tolson. All right. Now, if there are any listeners out in the listener audience that would be interested in getting involved in this investigation of the assassination of Martin Luther King, which I believe is now going to be dumped upon us, they're going to do, they're going to fake an investigation. So if you'd like to become involved in this investigation and interpose your opinions on the government, which is what we have to do to get a real investigation, then please join us on May 14th at Forest Books in San Francisco, 7 o'clock. That's Thursday at Forest Books, 16th and Valencia Street. We're going to start our own committee to investigate the assassination of Martin Luther King. And we're going to parallel the government's investigation, because when they run a line like the King assassination is more likely to be solved than those in the Kennedy case, you know something's fishy, you know something's wrong, and we're being set up again. I'll continue reading from this newspaper article. Unlike the JFK case, this King case has known living identifiable individuals who, while you can't say they're co-conspirators, are in the shadows and may have something to say, said Mendelson, a professor at Southeastern Massachusetts University. Okay. Smells like a rap to me. If you want to find out more about it, like I said, May 14th, Forest Books. Okay. The next piece of news on this. Oliver Stone's movie, JFK, comes out on video in June, same time as Spike Lee's movie on Malcolm X comes out in June. So the interest right now, the ammunition becoming available, being placed in your hands, is tremendous. It's a great opportunity for us to involve all of our neighbors in this. And the ways of involving people are, you need to write up a sign to put in your front window or in the window of your car that says, jail Bush and Nixon for the murder of JFK and Malcolm X. And we need to put those things out. By the way, if you want one, write to us. We've got bumper stickers and window signs, and we'll send them to you. Send us a donation. You know, we don't like to assign a price, because there are people in prison that listen to this, and there are people that are poor listening to this, and they want the materials. At the same time, there are people like attorneys making $50 an hour, $100 an hour listening to this program. So if you can afford to send us a $100 donation, we would appreciate it. And that way it helps us get the material out to other folks. Our address is P.O. Box 422644, San Francisco 94142.
Because you're stupid!
Paul Kangas with the final segment here of Reality Sandwich. And just wanted to remind people, this is the largest jury trial in the history of the United States. So you can participate in this jury trial by informing yourself. Now, here's one thing you can do. Contact your favorite radio station, say KPFA or KPOO. Rather, contact some straight radio station like KGO and ask them if they will allow you to speak. Or even better, how would you like to do a 45-second spot on Channel 2 or Coffee TV? They will let you go and speak on those television stations for free for 45 seconds. I've done it on both of them, and but they'll only let you do it once every 6 months. So if you would like to speak out, if you'd like to become a member of the informed active jury on this case and putting Nixon and Bush in jail for this, contact me at 897-0153, and I'll help you make a television program. If you're interested in seeing our video, we have produced an excellent video on this documentary, the role of Nixon and Bush. Please contact us. By the way, if you're a local San Francisco resident and would like to put it on the cable here in San Francisco, let us know, and we'll get it on the cable here. But we need help. Can't do everything ourselves. So, yes. More good news. The San Francisco Mime Troupe is producing a new play right now, and the new play is going to be about what's happening in the world in 1992, and it's going to apparently include some material on the role of George Bush in the assassination of Martin Luther King and John Kennedy. That's important that the Mime Troupe adapt reality. After all, only the truth is funny. And so the Mime Troupe has a long history of making the truth funny, even though in some ways the truth is sad and depressing and makes one get angry. The Mime Troupe can make the truth look funny and sound funny as it is. Because if what we know about George Bush's role in the assassination of John Kennedy is any indication of what's coming, that's the reason the Justice Department and George Bush are now fighting Oliver Stone and the rest of us who are attempting to open the case. We need everybody to participate. Jerry Brown has said that if he is elected, he will open the files. Dr. Lenora Falani, the woman running for president, has said that if elected, she will open the files. Now, it would be nice for some of the other presidential candidates to speak up. We know George Bush wants the files kept shut. Why won't Clinton speak up? Why do, you know, there's all those people that support Clinton for president. Ask Clinton why he doesn't speak up and demand that the files be opened. Why is Clinton being silent on this, the most important investigation, the most important jury trial in the United States? What kind of president would Clinton be if he can't speak up now and demand the release of these files? He'd be the same kind of president as we've already got. With somebody like that, do you really need somebody like that? I think not. That's why I would like to do a benefit for Jerry Brown. If there's any Jerry Brown supporters out there, because Brown has spoken up, give me a call and we can put together a benefit for Jerry Brown, and I could speak on the role of George Bush in the assassination of John Kennedy. Give me a call at 897-0153. That's in the 415 area, of course, because it's important that people realize. For instance, let me tell you the story of a man named George de Morenshaw. George de Morenshaw was a Texas oil millionaire, a geologist, who happened to be around the oil fields and made a lot of money in oil. He was at a bar in Washington, in Dallas, Texas, one day, and he was talking to a reporter from the Wall Street Journal. And he told this reporter that he was the CIA agent in charge of Lee Harvey Oswald. Well, the Wall Street Journal then ran that story about this George DeMorenshall being the CIA babysitter for Oswald. And a House Select Committee investigator called up DeMorenshall and said, "Did you really say that?" DeMorenshall said, "Yes." And the investigator said, "Can I meet with you tomorrow in Dallas? I'll fly down from Washington, D.C. DeMorenshall said, "No problem." 2 hours after the investigator from the House Select Committee to cover up the assassination of John Kennedy met with George DeMorenshall, DeMorenshall was found shot to death in his home. And the coroner, of course, ruled it a suicide. Why? Yes. Very interesting. So, in DeMorenshall's pocket was found the little black telephone book that everybody carries, but in his book, something different was found. What was found is the name of George Herbert Walker Bush and his private unlisted home telephone number, and also his secret CIA code name, Poppy. Poppy being the flower that grows opium, from which we produce heroin, which has sent a terrible plague on the United States, thanks to the CIA, thanks to Air America. And by the way, if you think about it, most people who use heroin use needles to inject the heroin. If you think about it, half the AIDS cases worldwide are being spread by dirty needles, by sharing needles, by heroin addicts sharing needles. So that the CIA has brought us not only the heroin plague that is destroying the bodies and minds of our young people, but also the AIDS plague that is destroying the bodies and minds of everybody. From Arthur Ashe to Rock Hudson to Magic Johnson are now hurt by the CIA AIDS virus that is being spread by sharing of needles. That's the history that George Bush and the CIA doesn't want us to know about. That's the history that Oliver Stone and people like Oliver Stone are fighting to open up and expose. It's important that you get involved directly in this process by doing what you can do to alert your neighbors, your friends, your elected representatives to the role of the CIA and George Bush in the murder of John Kennedy. Now, besides in George DeMorenshall's little telephone book found in the pocket when he was murdered by the CIA, was also the business address and business phone number for George Herbert Walker Bush. How Bush gets away with all this without being targeted by the press, why is that? Because the press in the United States is basically the fourth branch of government. And the government is opposed to the people. The government's job is to keep the people ignorant, to keep the people enslaved, to keep the people oppressed, to keep the people poor. It's our job to expose this. Those of us in the alternative press are trying to expose the role of the Central Intelligence Agency in smuggling heroin into this country and bringing it in using their diplomatic immunity. After all, the little crack dealer in your neighborhood doesn't own $1 million aircraft from which to fly to Afghanistan or Pakistan or Colombia or Vietnam to pick up the heroin or the cocaine. Those jobs are being handled by the rich white boys like George Bush and Richard Nixon. In fact, George Bush was once called the Henry Ford of worldwide heroin manufacturing. George Bush automated heroin smuggling worldwide. That's where his friend Noriega came into contact with Bush in the business community of that worldwide heroin traffic. All right. Keep those cards and letters coming, folks. We appreciate your interest, especially the letters coming from San Quentin. The death penalty is a good example of a weapon that's being used against us. And let me give you the best example I know of. When Sirhan Sirhan was wrongly convicted of the murder of Robert Kennedy, the Kennedy family actually intervened and got Sirhan off death row and simply got him a life sentence. But here's a case in point of where the death penalty would have been used to silence an innocent victim of a CIA plot. Now you say, wow, Robert Kennedy's murder, Sirhan, but everybody knows. Well, everybody doesn't know. In fact, Sirhan's in jail mainly because of racism. The only bars that keep Sirhan in jail are because he's an Arab and the most of the people are white. In fact, even the alternative press, the so-called alternative press in the United States, will not examine the Robert Kennedy murder because they're so blinded by racism to the conditions, the actual facts of the case. Sirhan didn't kill Robert Kennedy. And if you'd like some evidence, write to us at P.O. Box 422-644, San Francisco 94142. Or even better yet, come to the May 14th forum on the Watergate at Forest Books, 16th in Valencia, 7 p.m. sharp. Be there. That's how we're going to prosecute Nixon and Bush for their roles in the murder of Martin Luther King, President Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, and Malcolm X, by networking amongst people and discussing this democratically, peacefully, openly. And we need to knock on the doors of the other radio stations and television stations and ask them to please take the time to look into the evidence. All right. With that, we're now going to go out listening and marching out with the world-famous San Francisco Mime Troupe.
Can you guess just who we are? One part business, one part war. We own the weapons, banks and land. Call us Armageddon Man. There is less, but we want more. So we take it from the poor. You can't stop us, no one can, because we're Armageddon Man. Karl Marx predicted our demise, but it's on prices that we thrive. I said, find a new market or a war will do, and we'll see our historic mission through. Well, even though our race is almost run, when we are through, you'll all be done. And what we don't use up will blow away on that Armageddon day. Round the world we're number one. We'll win the war that can't be won. You won't survive it.
Outside is raging, but what are we waiting for? Let's go!
There is no way out unless
Armageddon man.
Unless I defeat him, what, you ain't gonna help me?
Nope. I'm disqualified. Made a big mistake.
A mistake? But I thought you were like the goddess of truth.
Not exactly. See, I am the spirit of information. I run general reference at that big library out there.
The main branch?
You have all the power that is mine to give. It's up to you to stop Armageddon man.
It's the breath of life they want to smother.